It was a time where we integrated our singing and our reading of God's word together from front to back. And afterwards, we actually had a bit of an encouraging feedback. So we actually decided that we'll do it kind of semi-regularly, every few months, for us to just have this time to focus on worship and singing, and also reading of God's word, just dwelling in it. It doesn't mean that our normal times of worship, our other times, are more or less important. It's just different for us to know, to worship with one another, and to also enjoy God together. Initially, I actually wanted to call it Worship Sunday. I know it sounds really boring, but for me, it seemed to imply that the other Sundays were less of worship, which is not true. Again, it is just different. So after a little bit of brainstorming, I came up with a Salah Sunday. If you're wondering what Salah means, it's one of those old ancient Hebrew words that are in the Old Testament. It actually appears quite a lot, 74 times, but the vast majority of them are in the Psalms. The meaning of it is not exactly clear. It's so kind of unclear that your NIV Bible actually takes it out because they're not sure what it means. But what the scholars have kind of looked into and figured out is that it's kind of a musical notation. Like that pause you have at the, you know, sometimes where you're not counting anymore, where you're just pausing for it. And the purpose of which is like the intermissions in the middle of a play or a musical. And the intention of it is so that they can reflect on the psalm that they have stopped or that they have just read. A time to look back and rest upon the words that they have just sung. So I think that's kind of the aim of our Salah Sundays that we are going to have, you know, every few months. For us to have a break from what we normally expect on Sundays. Because we know sometimes when we do something, the same thing every time, every week, it becomes very routine. And not too long, before too long, it becomes dull in our sensitivity to what we're doing. And we forget why we come together to worship in the first place. We can easily, if we do the same thing over and over again without asking why, we lose the intentionality or the reason of why we gather in together. So going forward, every few months, like I said, we will be doing this sort of thing. It may change from time to time, depending on, well, I guess, what comes up. Just to jolt us out of our routine a little bit, to simply hear from the scripture, the word of God read, to sing in response and to pray in meditation as well. A time for us to stop, rest, and reflect on God together. To start us off, our time together, I'm going to just ask you to just take a moment by yourself to close your eyes again, maybe in a short prayer. To ask God to speak to you today. To know that He is able to do miraculous things in your hearts, in our hearts, in each other's hearts today. To ask that He will help us hear His word. That our hearts may respond to Him today. I'm going to ask Annabelle to come up and give us our first reading.
This reading is from Psalm 145, verse 1 to 8. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
Thank you. I wonder if you ever think that it's a little bit weird for us to come together every week to do kind of the same thing over and over again. Sure, the form or the method that, you know, we do may change from time to time, the songs, the passages, or the sermon may vary. But at the bottom of it, we come back week in, week out to do the same kind of thing. To praise God, to praise Jesus, to remind ourselves of how great He is. There's not many things that I do that, you know, I can do over and over again. I'm sure some of you can relate. As much as you may enjoy something, there's not many things outside of church that you would do again and again and again over years. You kind of get sick of it. But that's exactly what David is talking about here. That the Lord, his God, our God, is so worthy of praise. His greatness is so great that we can't wrap our head around it. We can't fathom it. Time and time again, generation after generation, we meditate and celebrate God. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. May we never grow tired or bored of worshiping our great and wonderful holy God together. Want you stand with me as we sing our first song, Only a Holy God.
Who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What are the beauty demands such praises? What are the splendor outshines the sun? What are the majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold Him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God.
Let me invite Reese to come on up to give us our next Bible reading. You may grab a seat.
Yeah, so this reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 22. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation.
Thanks, Reese. As we have just sang before, our God indeed is a holy God. And as awesome as worthy of that praise is, that deserving, it actually presents us with a bit of a problem. Because while God is holy, we know we ourselves are not. If we are not holy, we cannot bear to be in God's presence, let alone be in the right relationship with him. It's like being too close to the sun. We would be consumed by his holiness. Which is why it is so wonderful for Paul to say in the end of these verses that Reese just read, yes, once we were alienated from God and we were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior, but now he has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in his sight. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for you and I, for us, by faith we can be declared holy and righteous in the presence of a holy and righteous God. When we are presented or called before our perfect and holy Father, our Lord God will not see us for our sinful selves, but holy, as forgiven, as cleansed by the blood of his Son, Jesus. We're going to continue our singing with the next song, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Sin on him was laid. He
Thank you that by your sacrifice we may be made holy and acceptable. That we have no fear when we come before you and our Heavenly Father. That we need not run or hide from you, but that when we come to you, you welcome us with your arms wide open, welcoming us into your presence. We thank you that by your death we have life. Amen. This good news of Jesus, of course, is not just for you and I here, but for all people of all nations. That's why as a church, we support a number of missionaries, locally, internationally, and agency as well, that focuses on evangelism. Often we think support is only financial for these missionary or agencies, but after actually talking to a number of missionaries, they actually say finances is not the most difficult thing to raise. But it's actually prayer. People's care and support regularly and constantly, letting them know that they're not alone in this journey or in their mission. One of the missionaries we support are the Porters. One of many of you will be familiar with them. I'm going to ask Norm to come up to give us an update and some things that we can be praying for them for later on in our prayer time. Thanks, Norm.
Morning, everyone. As Nathan was mentioning, just going to give a quick update on the Porters, who are one of the missionary families that we support. They work out of Cambodia. So quick background, I think most of us would have met them, and whenever they're on home assignment in Australia, they do attend our church. So if you've been around in the last couple of years, hopefully you would have seen them in person. But for those who don't know, they used to, I guess Simon used to be our pastor in English, and then Ange is also the sister of Ken and Nat. So it's all very connected, one big family. They've been serving in Cambodia for quite a while. So just on the photo, obviously Simon's in the back, Ange is on the left, and then the older son, Ruben, is standing or crouching with glasses, and then Gabriel is the younger son in the front. So I think this is, as Nathan mentioned, just an opportunity for us to get to know the missionaries we support. I know it's very, even for myself, it's sometimes, you know, it's very hard to keep connected, to, I guess, be reminded that, you know, there is a much bigger world of Christian ministry work that is happening, even though we support it. It's good to be reminded of what's going on. So I've just got a couple of updates from them. It's mainly through their newsletter, but I think a couple of praise points. So over the Christmas period and the New Year period, they had a Christmas event that had over 100 people attend, which is an amazing outcome. I think if you know anything about Cambodia, it is quite a non-Christian, I guess, country. So I think not to say that, you know, we should set low expectations, but 100 people is, I think, an amazing gathering for them. So really praise God for that. I think even more so than that, some of those people who have attended are now coming to their Sunday services regularly. So just one of the prayer points in the prayer time later is, you know, for their continued work in Cambodia. I think also for these people who have started coming to church to, just for that to continue, and then for those opportunities that Simon and Ange and all the people that they work with to, God can use that to, continue his work in the kingdom in Cambodia. The other big event that also recently happened was, there was actually a centenary celebration of Protestant Christianity in Cambodia. So 100 years of Protestant Christianity having first been introduced to Cambodia, I guess. So that wasn't just OMF, it wasn't just the Porters, that was like a big Christian event. Yeah, so over 10,000 people attended that. So that's a massive, massive gathering of people. So I think many missionaries were present. But it was very much the local Khmer church that ran that. So, I think that's just a milestone for them who are working in Cambodia to celebrate that. 100 years is fairly long time. So pray that can encourage the people who attended to, I guess, continue that race. It is I think, missionary work for those of us who have heard, like, accounts from missionaries that we know. It can be long, it can be difficult, for lack of a better word, it could be a slog, it's just getting through. It's not always, seeing conversions day to day, right? So I think 100 years is something to celebrate for them. And then for their church directly, they're also, there's been a question around baptism. So they're thinking about that. I think in Cambodia, there's a lot of, considerations that we ourselves in Australia don't really have to think about when it comes to baptism. So I think there was an uncle who they want prayer for is that he is hesitant because potentially if he got baptized, he would receive persecution from his family. I don't know what that might look like, but, you know, maybe just cutting contact, that sort of stuff. So it is a big decision for people in Cambodia to be baptized. There are repercussions in a sense, but I think what we're happy about is that there is interest from their church. So I think it's just prayer for Simon, for Ange, for their church to, I think, think about this carefully, wisely, and just to make sure that, you know, that the way they do it is, supporting the growth of their church, but also not, I guess, alienating people or causing unnecessary problems in people's family lives. So just to follow on from that, Simon will be teaching some baptism courses over the next month to help members of the church, decide, you know, what they want to do moving forward. And then lastly, from late March, Simon will also be taking on a training and development role for the entire Cambodia team. It's a big responsibility. So essentially he'll be training the missionaries and the workers who are working in Cambodia to, I guess, more effectively go out or just to make sure that their Bible knowledge and everything is good. It's a huge responsibility for Simon. I think for those who have followed, I guess, their journey so far, I think there is like high instances of people being overworked in missionary fields. I think Simon himself was also going through times where, yeah, it was just very overworked. I think they were like the leads, like the OMF Cambodia leads. I think that was like a huge like responsibility and work for them. So just pray for Simon over these next initial months, I guess, and also moving forward as he takes on this new responsibility. Pray that, you know, God will give him strength, give him energy. Yeah, pray for, I guess, the support of his family and, yeah, the people that they're working with. But, yeah, also pray for opportunities to come out of this. And then lastly, I think Nathan already kind of mentioned it. So, yes, I think when we think about supporting missionaries, usually it's financial means and, you know, spiritual support and that type of stuff. So I think we'll have a time of prayer now and there'll be a couple of, well, there'll be a prayer point for them in that. I think just in terms of financial, yeah, just in terms of numbers, they received 91% of their budget last year, yep. So obviously that's a great number, but I think for missionaries, like they do obviously plan around what they expect to receive from financial support, and they, you know, plan a lot of their work, plan a lot of their living around that. So if there is anything in terms of financial support that you yourself may want to contribute to or think about, please do so. We have, you know, within the church, we donate to, like we send support to our missionaries. So please pray for that. Please think about that if you're in a position to do that. And lastly, I just wanted to add, so they do send out a newsletter. I think it's usually monthly. If you want to receive the newsletter, speak to me. I can help get you there. I think we also have a missionary committee who kind of handles relationships with our missionaries. I think Pat Lai, he's our English person on the committee, so speak to him as well, I guess. But yeah, I think it's just really good to be receiving regular updates, like even if you know, we're not praying for them as regularly as we'd like, it's just a prompt for us when we get the newsletter to be like, oh, okay, let's pray for them, to know what's going on, you know, in their lives. So yeah, I think that's the update. So we'll have a time of prayer and yeah, I'll pass it back to Nathan.
Thanks, Norm. We are going to break off into our small groups around us. There are a number of things that... we're playing like tag here. There we go. Yeah, so get on your group. We're going to give us about 10 minutes to pray, especially for the porters, for Simon, that, yeah, as he takes on this new role of training and development, he may find the strength and the wisdom to do so without being burnt out. Pray for the world. There is peace talks in the Middle East. Sometimes these things seem so removed from us, but we forget there are real people in real lives that are affected by it. So do pray for that. For our congregation, our small groups, for our TYF and our plus groups, that people can continue to gather, especially for the leaders and the attendees, that they can come and be encouraged by God's word. For yourselves as well, to share maybe what's one thing that's worrying you or what's burdening you, that you can be asking your brother and sister around you to be praying for. Because we are not alone in these journeys, indeed, especially in our difficulties. So, 10 minutes, I think we're going to get a clock up, and then, yeah, we'll come back to our time together. So, gather in small groups. Go.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm going to invite Nathaniel to come up to give us a Bible reading to close off our time together. Thanks, Nathaniel. Is the mic on? Is it? Try it.
Testing.
Hey, great.
Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Let's pray together. Lord, we know, you know, the worries and the burdens that have made their homes in our hearts. You know the things that weigh us down and keeps us awake at night. We ask that amidst these difficulties and the uncertainties in our lives, we'll be able to find peace in you. A peace that is beyond our human understandings. That in every situation, whatever the worries or the burdens that we have shared just now, that we will not be anxious, but be trusting in you. For nothing is out of your hands and nothing is outside of your control. May we find peace in our hearts through you. May we always rejoice in you, our Lord. Amen. Now, at the start, we reminded ourselves of God's holiness and righteousness. And through Jesus' sacrifice, we too may be declared holy and righteous in his presence. But of course, while we are on earth, we know each day that we still harbor sin in our hearts. Whether consciously or unconsciously, we commit wrongs against our God. It could be arrogance, pride, lust, mistrust, greed, or just plain selfishness. A whole host of things that are within us that maybe that has even got a grip in our lives. Jesus' message to his disciples while he was on earth and to us is clear. It is to repent and believe. He tells us to come to him and to acknowledge our sins and to commit them to him for our forgiveness. We're going to come to a time of confession. Confession is where we come before God to acknowledge and to say that we are indeed sinful, that we need him to forgive us. I don't know how regularly you may do confession. It's something that we don't do regularly together. But confession is really vital to our spiritual health. Not because if we don't confess every single sin, then we're not forgiven or anything like that. Because Hebrews is clear that Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient once and for all. Now, we should be confessing our sins because without regular acknowledgement of our sinfulness, we would easily forget our desperate need for his forgiveness. Without confession, we may come to take for granted his sacrifice. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing a first half of Man of Sorrows, and then we're going to reflect upon the path that Jesus took to bear our sins on the cross. And then after that first half of Man of Sorrows, we're going to give you a few minutes, a few moments, just to search in your own hearts, what are the sins that you need to confess before Jesus? What are the things you need to ask for forgiveness for? Let's sing Man of Sorrows. 2, 3, 4.
Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man has
Romans 3, 23, 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus." What are the things that you need to bring before God today? Whether it be great or small, they are incompatible with our righteous God. For the next few minutes, I'm going to allow for you, if you have a time of your own individual confession, to search in your own hearts the things that we know are against Him. And if we don't know what they are, we ask them, Him, God, to reveal it to us. So in your own prayers, repent of them and before God and ask for forgiveness and know that He has forgiven you. This quiet time may feel awkward or long, but take a deep breath and be honest with God. He already knows what's in yours and my hearts. John 1 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we will deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Will you stand with me now as we sing this wonderful truth that by Jesus our debt is paid? Please stand.
Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no blood that my Jesus spilled.
the Lord our God declares, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Jesus, we are sorry for the things that we have done against you and against other people. We're sorry that we are often selfish, proud, and arrogant of you in our lives. We ask that you will forgive us today. Lord, we also thank you that by your grace and your sacrifice, we have the assurance in the forgiveness of our sins. That though we have wronged you and others, you have forgiven us. Lord, we ask that you reveal to us the sins that are within us, that have made their homes in our lives. We ask that you will remove them from us, that we may live lives that glorify and honor you. Amen. Please grab a seat. One of the great things that we as believers have is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in fact, helps us to understand his word. The great thing about Christians is that it's not about the education or the human intelligence that we may have that allows us to understand God's word, but it's Holy Spirit, God himself. What that means is that we could have all the degrees or Bible studies and commentaries in the world, or even all the best sermons, but if we have not the Holy Spirit, we cannot truly understand it in our hearts. But on the other hand, if we do have the Holy Spirit, even the most uneducated person can know the most profound mystery in Christ through the revelation of his Spirit. When we come before Jesus, he has given us his mind that we may discern and make judgment about all things. As Christians, we believe that God's word, though written thousands of years ago, are written for us today as well. So what we're going to do in this next section is we're going to actually sing another song called Shepherd. As we sing, the ushers, Dom and Son, are going to hand out some Bible verses to you. I want you to hold on to them and to pray and sing upon them, that after the song, that we can come together and to reflect upon what the word of God is saying to you in your lives. That this word you can take home today and ask God, how is he encouraging you through these words? So let's sing Shepherd.
Shepherd leads me.
5:11 says, "My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, or accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you will help us understand your word today, that we may know what you are trying to say to us, whether you desire to challenge us or to encourage us, whether you want to remind us of something or to rebuke us of our sins. We ask that your word will sink deep into our hearts and make its home in each of our lives. May we never rest on our own wisdom. May we never take pride in our own understandings. But Lord, may we love your word. May we know you deeper each day through your Spirit. Amen. And for our last section, I'm going to invite Taryn to come up to give us our final Bible reading.
This is from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. And the one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death."
In the last book of the Bible, John actually describes for us a series of visions that he sees and received from Jesus Christ. And the last of these visions, he sees a future where God renews all creation. Both heaven and earth are created. What we're going to do, as Christians, we want to hold on to this vision of the future, of what it is that we are hoping for together. Not just taking away of mourning, of sin, or of pain and death, but for God himself to be dwelling with us. No longer will there be any barriers between us and him, but we will see Jesus, the one who loves us, face to face. What a day that will be when we come together and be with him. We want to hold on to that vision together. And so what we're going to do for just a moment, I want you to close your eyes and I'm going to read it through again, to remember what is in store for us when Jesus returns. I'm going to change some of the wordings just to clear up some of the symbols. But for us to hold on to what a wonderful day that will be. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any disorder. I saw the holy city, God's own people, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's resting place is now among the people. He will rest with us. We will be his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God. It will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old sinful world has passed away. The God who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he says to us, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children." You stand with me for our last song, as we sing the hymn of heaven and repeat these words to ourselves to encourage us and to encourage one another, that one day we will be singing together once more in heaven with Him. Let's stand.
To face.
Lord, we ask that you will rejuvenate our spirit each day as we come to you in prayer and through your word. We ask that you will give us strength and commitment to following you. We ask that you will give us peace in spite of what we may face each day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.